Today on Real Radio.
A real Christian versus a fake Christian in name only is free to forgive people. The Christian will become very attractive, this kind of Christian, a real Christian, will become very attractive to the world when they see that you have been so liberated and freed and that you have been so touched by the Lord that you are now being a witness for Christ because your company, your co-workers are watching you. And they saw what that co-worker did to you. And your co-workers are watching to see how you handle that guy.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. The first four verses of chapter 11 contain what is often erroneously dubbed the Lord's Prayer. It is not the Lord's Prayer. It is a model prayer or framework of how we believers are to address the Almighty when presenting to Him our praises and petitions. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a mini-series called When a Christian Prays.
When a Christian prays, we're brought to the place of freedom. Freedom, verse 4 teaches us. Jesus said, when you pray, pray this: forgive us our sins. Man, I want to pay close attention to this. When we pray, we're brought to the place of freedom. Freedom of being forgiven. Oh, church, this is the best. Freedom of being forgiven. When the Bible says, and I love it, straight up, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Don't you love it? The Bible doesn't tiptoe around and offer up an apology. I'm sorry, but the Bible teaches that God believes that the heaven and earth were created by Him. The Bible doesn't apologize. It says it straight up. God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible, with equal boldness, says we have sinned. We're sinners. And in this politically correct, lunatic age, people go, oh, how could you say that? You're damaging my self-esteem. You don't understand anything. You need to know something. You'll never get true self-esteem unless you find out that Jesus Christ is waiting to forgive you and cleanse you from guilt and shame and all the secret nasty stuff you think about and do in secret. Jesus says, bring it to me and I'll forgive you of it and set you free. Man, that's liberation and that's freedom. But listen, the freedom of being forgiven is an awesome thing. Jesus says, pray this. Make sure you pray this. Lord, forgive me. Imagine with me for a moment. Imagine if in a human's life, in our lives, do you remember before we were Christians? We felt this way, though we didn't look this way. We walked around heavy. We walked around burdened. We didn't even know the words heavy and burdened applied to who and what we were. But if you could have seen us in the spiritual realm, we were walking like this. We would take a step and drag a big ball and chain. Take a step and drag a big ball and chain. What was that ball and chain? Selfishness, pride, arrogance, lust, adultery, fornication, maybe drugs, maybe alcohol, whatever it is. Dragging that ball and that chain. Every person in the world without Christ is dragging a ball and chain. You can almost hear it come by. And Jesus wants every person free from that. Some people want to argue, I want to keep my ball and chain. I want to hang on to it. They try to dress it up, put a smiley face on that big ball, kind of, you know, put velvet on the chain. It's killing you. Being forgiven. Jesus is saying, ask for forgiveness. Because it liberates us and sets us free, and we're forgiven, and it's wonderful. But listen, this is very, very important. As a Christian now, you say, well, who's he talking to, the believer or the non-believer? Jesus is talking in this portion of Scripture to the believer. You say, well, wait, I thought we were forgiven when we came to Christ. Oh, please, is everybody with me? Raise your hand, I need to know you're awake. This is important. Don't miss this. Before you come to Christ, your sins are pulling you down to hell. When you come to Jesus Christ, The power of sin to take you down to hell is broken. You're not going to hell anymore. You're born again. You are free from that destination. Ain't going there if you're a Christian. Now watch this. I'm going to move over here now. Okay? Now that I'm a Christian and I'm here, what happens when I sin now? Am I going to hell? No. Your sin and the power of sin has been forgiven in your life. The chain was cut. The ball fell into hell. You're free, but I still sin. Yes, but you're no longer in jeopardy of hell. So then how do I get fellowship restored back with my Lord? You confess your sins to him, and he forgives you of that sin. You don't give your heart to Christ today and then sin this afternoon and you're waiting until next Sunday. I got to go back next Sunday and go forward and get saved again. Oh, no, 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 no. You get saved once. But day by day, you and I ask the Lord to forgive us of our nasty thoughts, our judgment, our criticalness, or whatever it might be. Do you understand that? Sin now in the life of the believer breaks fellowship with God. When we confess our sin, fellowship's restored. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Being forgiven. The Bible makes it very clear that we are S-I-N positive. All of us. And we need to come to Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses, let us, listen, lay aside every weight, ball and chain, and the sin which so easily ensnares us, the sins that come to the Christian's life day by day, and let us run with endurance, can't run with a ball and chain, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Praise God, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Forgiveness produces in your life and mine great joy and enthusiasm. I have been mentioned, it has been said of me many times. I was interviewed recently on a radio program back east, and they mentioned about his passion for God. And his passion for God, I'm thinking, passion for God? You know what? People think, well, you're so passionate for God. You're so enthusiastic. You know what? Wait, listen, I wasn't born this way. I was set free. The chain got cut off my life. The ball rolled away. You guys, I'm crazy for God because I've been forgiven of a huge amount of sin. Pastor, what were they? He says, thy sin have I removed from you so far. He says, I do not remember your sin. And he said, listen, I will take it so far from you as far as the east is from the west. So far have I removed, Jack, from you your sin. I ain't telling you. I don't even want to be reminded myself. Why should I talk about it? When he's forgotten, why should I remind him? So far has he removed my sin from me. I'm free. Secondly, under this point, brought to the place of freedom, freedom of being liberated. Liberated. Liberation brings refreshing. We need that in our lives. Christian, are you free? You guys, it's pretty hard to get pulled down when you're free in Christ Jesus and liberated. Oh, listen, you know this. It's Psalm 51, the famous Psalm 51. You want to know why it's so famous and why it's so important to us? Psalm 51, up until Psalm 51, David is saying things like this in the Psalms. God, look upon my righteousness and deal with my enemies. Look upon the righteousness of my soul and crush those who come against me. Oh, God, look to my holiness and my greatness, oh, God. David is just blabbing it left and blabbing it right. And then his troops go to battle. He wakes up late in the day. You're always in trouble when you wake up after the sun's up. Something wrong. David looks around. You can just see him. He's got his robe on. He's the king. Goes up to the top of the roof. And in a mid-morning bath is Bathsheba taking a bath a couple roofs over. And she is a hottie cutie. And he's looking. Whoa. I shouldn't look. He winds up having her. From that time on, his psalm writing changes. Oh, God, forgive me. Oh, God, I've sinned against you, and you only have I sinned. Listen to Psalm 51. This is the famous psalm he wrote after the sin with Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, Lord. Listen to this, how humble. According to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Ball and chain. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice again. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then, listen to this, then, it implies only then, will I teach transgressors your ways and sinners shall be converted to you. Did you hear what he's saying? God, I've known you. I sinned and fell away from you. And he comes back humbly and he's praying, oh God, refresh me, renew me. Lord, liberate me. Notice what he says. Did you get it at the end? Then I will be able to tell sinners about your way. Sin keeps you and I from sharing Christ with people. We've got no joy. We've got no hope. We can't liberate anybody. Because we're not liberated anymore ourselves. When we pray, we're saying, oh, God, forgive me. God is so faithful to forgive us and liberate us. Thirdly, under this point, freedom of being a witness. Freedom of being a witness for Christ. A real Christian, listen, this is going to upset some of you. I hope it does. I really do. I've prayed about this before I said it. Should I say it? Should I not say it? Should I write it down? I wrote it down. So I'm going to say it. It may offend some of you. A real Christian versus a fake Christian in name only is free to forgive people. The Christian will become very attractive, this kind of Christian, a real Christian, will become very attractive to the world when they see that you have been so liberated and freed and that you have been so touched by the Lord that you are now being a witness for Christ because your company, your coworkers are watching you. And they saw what that coworker did to you. And your coworkers are watching to see how you handle that guy. Okay? They're watching. You may not think they're watching. They're watching. A fake Christian, a pretend Christian, cannot forgive people. This is one of the works of the flesh that comes out of a pretend Christian. They can't forgive. In fact, they are sharpening their blade, waiting. They're not a real Christian. They think they are, but they're not. They'll even justify their condition. Well, you don't know. I don't know, but God knows. Didn't Jesus say, love your enemies? A real heaven-bound, born-again, spirit-filled, Jesus' name written on your face Christian must forgive people. It's not some big work that you muster up. It's a discipline, sure, but there's a sweetness to it. Did not Jesus Christ forgive you and I? How dare we withhold forgiveness from someone who sinned against us? Have we not sinned against Jesus? Can you imagine if Jesus acted like you? If he was a pretend Messiah, a fake Savior? Come to me, I'll save you. And as soon as you turn your back, he's sharpening the blade to stab you. Listen. Real Christians must, they get to, they will be a forgiving person. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. Did that upset some of you? Did that hurt you? If it hurts you, the Holy Spirit's talking to you directly. 1 Thessalonians 3:12 says, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. Beautiful. When we forgive people, we're being like Jesus. When we extend forgiveness. Some people will say, oh, I'm not going to give them the opportunity to know that I have forgiven them. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. He will repay. What are you trying to do it for? Luke 23:33. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified Jesus with the criminals with them, one on the right hand and one on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Acts 7:59. Somebody got it. Somebody caught that. Acts 7:59, and they stoned Stephen. And as he was calling out on God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit," then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice and said, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. That's a sweet way of saying that the believer died. Church, did you hear that? Let it go. Trust me, whatever someone's done to you, it is not worse than what they did to Jesus, and it's not worse than what they did to Stephen. They lied about Stephen, they had a false trial about Stephen, they condemned him, and then they stoned him.
"Yeah, but you know what? That guy hurt my feelings last week. And I just can't forgive him."
You know what? You're right. Where is he? Point him out. Let's stone him. In fact, you throw the first stone. The Christian church around the world would do better if it started forgiving and acting like Jesus. It's what we're supposed to do. If we've been forgiven, and we know it, we will. His people will. Point number eight. I got to hurry. Point number eight, when a Christian prays, we're brought to the place of power. Power. This is amazing power. "For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us." Matthew records it this way. Jesus taught this twice. Matthew and Luke's presentation are two separate teachings. It's not the same teaching overlaid. It's two separate teachings. Matthew put it this way, though. Jesus said, "For we also forgive those who have sinned against us." Interesting. Luke gives us some insight as to the dynamic of it. Indebted to us. Did you mark that? Look at it in your Bible. The New King James Version of the Bible puts it correctly. "For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us." In other words, we forgive every person that has sinned against us, those who owe us. Ooh, that's what the word means, owe us? You mean the person that sinned against me owes me?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, listen, in the book Edinburgh Picturesque, Robert Louis Stevenson, and I'll read this, writes this about two sisters, that they shared the same house. They lived all their lives together, obviously unmarried. And when an argument arose between them about God, they had a bitter, bitter parting of their ways, Stevenson writes. And they continued to live in the same house. But unreconciled, they took a piece of chalk and they divided the entire home in half with a piece of chalk. Plates, kitchen, dishes, everything divided by a piece of chalk. But they were quick and faithful to pray, "We forgive everyone who's indebted to us." Listen, in the 21st century, the Christian church around the world is divided over stupid non-essentials, and the church has become bitter, divided, dead, and ineffective. Ball and chain. It's like putting rocks in your pocket. Remember when the pursers were on the Titanic and the Titanic was sinking? You know what those lunatics did? They ran with their key and went into all of the staterooms and took all the gold and jewelry and money from the people who were fleeing the Titanic. They put it in their, this is a true story, they put it in their pockets and they thought, "What a bunch of dopes." They ran out on all their gold and all their jewelry. And they jumped over the side of the Titanic to go swim to their life rafts. The weight of the possessions that they stole took them straight to the bottom of that cold, dark Atlantic. Sin will do that. Unforgiveness will do that. We're brought to the place of power when we've been given the power to forgive. God has given the Christian, when we pray, God has given the Christian power to forgive. "For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us." Colossians 3:12 says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." You think that's a suggestion? This is the life of a true Christian. Matthew 18. I need everyone to write this down. You need to write this down. This is something, I'm going to read it to you. This is something that is rarely practiced in Christianity because there are few disciples. Matthew 18:15 says, Jesus said it, "If your brother sins against you," has anyone ever hurt your feelings, sinned against you? Raise your hand. About 90% of you just lied to me right now. We've all been hurt by someone. Was it a brother? that sinned against you? Go to him and show him his fault. Just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others alongside you so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to you, then tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen to the church, treat him as a non-believer. Wow. That's what the Bible says to do. And if we do that, relationships would be fixed. But you know what? Somebody hurts our feelings, and we gossip and tale bear all around town, and we never go to the person. And watch this. This is the funny thing. I'm being sarcastic. It's a funny thing about it. Someone sins against you. You're innocent, but someone sins against you. And instead of you going to them and saying, hey, what do you mean by that? What are you saying that for? Come on, let's work this out. That person who was sinned against turns and starts sinning because they mismanage what that man sinned against them regarding. And if you look and see a tale bearer and a gossip, God says, I hate those who divide the body. Has someone hurt you? Go to them. Go to them today, or as soon as you can, go to them. Don't tell your husband or your wife, your aunt or uncle, or the person sitting next to you, hey, did you know what? You are a gossip. Be quiet. Go to that person. Don't let someone sin against you become a greater sin in your life. Jesus is saying, how could someone become indebted to us and we have the power to forgive? How does that work? When someone sins against us, this is what this word means. When someone sins against us, they become indebted to us. That number one, they are to go to God first and ask for forgiveness. Number two, they must come to you and ask for forgiveness. They owe God an apology. Listen, theologically, it means this. They owe God an apology through you, whom they sinned against as well. If they repent of their sin, believe me, my friend, you'll be the first one to know it. You'll be the first one to know. Because God will tell them, look, you hurt Susie? God will say, you go to Susie first and then come and talk to me. Isn't that what the scripture teaches? Ephesians 4, verse 30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for that day of redemption, but let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Hebrews 12, 4 says, pursue peace with everybody and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest someone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness begin to spring up in you and cause trouble, whereby many are defiled. Here's what you don't want to ever have happen. You want to pray to the Lord always, asking him to forgive you. And if you have sinned, you ask God to forgive you, because if you don't, bitterness will begin to cook in your heart.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a mini-series called When a Christian Prays. Look at the first four verses of Luke chapter 11, what is often inaccurately dubbed the Lord's Prayer. Now, this mini-series is part of our journey through this fascinating New Testament narrative written by Dr. Luke, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, this mini-series, When a Christian Prays, can be yours on CD for a contribution of any amount to the outreach of Real Radio. Simply ask for it by title when you call, click, or write. When a Christian Prays. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to send in that contribution the traditional way, here's our mailing address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.